parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to festival custom. After they had completed its days and were returning, the boy Jesus remained behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Thinking that he was in the caravan, they journeyed for a day and looked for him among their relatives and acquaintances. But not finding him, they returned to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astounded at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been looking for you with great anxiety." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. And his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus advanced in wisdom and age and favor before God and man. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
It's easy to have an idealized view of the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. After all, it consists of the Savior of the world, the Queen of Heaven, and the universal protector of the church. But I think it's important for us to remember this family lived in a time, lived a life that still had its own struggles. We, of course, have a traditional nativity scene over here, and probably very similar to what you might have in your homes. But I once recall seeing what I would call a more realistic nativity scene, with all three of the Holy Family asleep on the floor of the barn. Joseph and Mary worried about their son, as evident by the story of Jesus being found in the temple. Now, on the one hand, Jesus was like the other children in that he advanced in wisdom in the context of a family. He was also like other children in giving his parents great anxiety. Now, the gift of the Son of God to the human family was a selfless act of love. King Herod's response was a complete selfish act. His desire to protect his own power led to an act of terrorism as he ordered the slaughter of innocent children, hoping to kill the newborn king. Due to that act, the Holy Family was forced into exile. When Pope Francis declared last year as a year dedicated to Saint Joseph, in the pastoral letter that he wrote, he described Joseph's action of protecting his family as creative courage. Creative courage describes Joseph first in saying yes to the angel, asking him to go ahead and marry the Virgin Mary, even though she was with child. He, of course, had to be creative in finding a place for he and his pregnant wife to reside once they arrived in Bethlehem, because there was no room for in any of the inns. And of course, as soon as the angel warned him of King Herod's plans, he immediately jumped up, grabbed his wife and their newborn son, and fled into exile in Egypt. Saint Joseph's creative courage is truly something for us all to emulate. But it also reminds us the Holy Family was not insulated from the struggles and sufferings of this life. But in the environment of a loving family, Jesus was able to discern his mission. An author defines wisdom as learning the ways of God and choosing to live by them. The Son of God, of course, had an important mission, and Jesus had to discern that and then say yes to that mission throughout his adult life. But part of that mission also was to grow up in the presence of the loving parents of Joseph and Mary. He, the Word incarnate, the one through whom all things were created, chose to obey them and learn from them. But also Christ's coming sanctified daily life, most especially family life. He sanctified the day-to-day goings-on that occurs in a family. He sanctified the work of his father Joseph in providing for the family. And he also sanctified the continued learning that occurs inside of a family. Another author wrote, "Parents must do more than give a child an intellect. A family must teach a child about life's proper direction, which way to go. A family must guide a child's soul." When Pope Paul VI wrote about the Holy Family, he described it as a school of work and love. He described how he desired to go back to that family and learn from their life in Nazareth. He described how Joseph, being a good provider, sanctified the act of work. But he also said, we can't stay there. Just as they couldn't stay in Nazareth, just as Jesus, once he became an adult, had to leave Nazareth to begin his work. So the Holy Family, as I said before, is truly an example of Christian living, most especially for our families, something we can emulate. But we also have to be realistic about something. None of our families have a Savior. None of our families have the Queen of Heaven, and none of our families have the universal protector of the church. All of our families are filled with sinners. Unfortunately, family members will be unkind to one another. Family members will betray one another, will hurt one another. And this is where the important gift of forgiveness comes in. Jesus came to this world to bring God's mercy to us. And then in seeking out that mercy, then to practice that gift of forgiveness, but most especially inside of our own families. This is a necessary work to continue to build up the bonds of charity that should exist in our families. And when those bonds are broken, to ask Jesus for the grace and the courage to seek reconciliation and to try to repair those bonds. The work of the family ultimately is about directing its members to God and to love each other as Christ loves us. This is the work that was accomplished so exemplary by the Holy Family, but now we have its members residing in heaven, interceding for us to assist all of our families in accomplishing this important work, so as to bring all the members of our family into eternal life in heaven.